Tonight we are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of those passages where I just, this week I actually really started off thinking it was going to be the Sunday morning message. But the more I studied it and the more I dealt with it, or the more it dealt with me, maybe that's a better way of putting it, the more it dealt with me, it was more that I wanted to talk about, and it'll end up preaching, but it's more that I don't know, because I think sometimes we've taken this whole passage and or a couple verses out of it, and we've taken it somewhat out of context, and not completely out of context, but somewhat. And so I want us to look at this passage tonight, and I did it a little bit different than I normally do Sunday nights, but there's those 4 points that are in your normal Sunday morning sermon, but, well, sometimes 4, sometimes 7, sometimes 2, sometimes none, I guess, even. I have been guilty of, what was your point? But anyway, let's go ahead and let's open, starting with verse 1 of chapter 1. It said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we lift your word to you. Lord, may I not take it out of context. May I preach it the way you revealed it to me. Lord, may we go through this and understand what it is you have for us, what it is you're calling us to do. Lord, that we would take your word and apply it to our lives to be everything you desire us to be. Lord, to use this passage and understand the blessings we have through you and through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. This is one of those passages where sometimes we have the mentality and the understanding that God has comforted you, and therefore you take that same comfort and you comfort someone else. And that is true. That is what it's saying. But sometimes I think I had missed this part until this week as I began to study and pray over it earlier this week. Because that's what I had always got out of this passage. And yes, that's in there. But I think there's so much more to that. Because as Paul is talking to them, and he's sharing with them, we know that Paul had been through all kinds of persecution. And if we'd have kept reading it, it tells us in verse 8 about what they came into in Asia and all the persecution that they were to the point of death. And it talks about all the persecution they had dealt with. But what I want us to get tonight is and honestly, this is just what God gave me this week that I know I needed. Because I had planned on doing some things and trying to talk to some people that were really suffering. And even throughout the week, I seen other people that I love and other people that I know suffering as well. And so there is so much suffering going on in our world. I mean, it's just nonstop. And we need to continue to pray for those people. The ones I'm thinking of off the top of my head, yes, they know Jesus, and yes, they are leaning on Him, but we pray that, how can we comfort them? How can we bring about God's comfort to them? And so as I'm looking at this passage, what we need to understand is, as Paul says to them, basically saying, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That was kind of what he called God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was the God of the Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That was kind of his name, if you would, how the people related to him. Well, Paul relates to him as God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was kind of what he looked at him as. But he says something here. He said, he's the Father of mercies. He is where mercy comes from. We talk about things in our life about how we receive mercy, or, man, that person was so merciful, or that situation, man, by God's mercy, we were out of that. And sometimes we just take it and we toss that term out there flippantly. But to understand that he is the source of where all mercy comes from. And so in saying that and stopping right there, how often do you thank God for his mercies? Because mercies, I look at it as, and I'm sure there's other people that define it different, but I always have been taught and always looked at it like, grace is when you get something that you don't deserve, and mercy is when you don't get something you do deserve. And I know they cross, but that's in my mind. I kind of separate them that way. But he's the Father and the source of keeping everything away from me that I should get. All the things that, because of my human nature, that I deserve, God is the Father. God is the source of me not having to deal with so many things. And not only is the Father of mercies, he's the God of all comfort. He is God in, and that blows our mind just thinking about that. When we stop and we want to talk about just who God is, we can't wrap our mind around it. But all comfort. There are times in our life when we see people, and we ourselves have even went through something, and it just seems like there is no comfort. It's there. But my problem is that I look towards the issue in my life or whatever it is, and so therefore I take my eyes off the fact that every time I hurt, he hurts. He is there to comfort me. He is there to come alongside me. When you take that word that there uses for comfort, it's actually the word paraclete, which is a Greek word that means to come alongside, to lift and encourage. So it's not really the word that we think of when we say, you know, oh, this little kid carries that blanket because it comforts them. It's not that type of deal, because that blanket can't lift them. That blanket can't strengthen them and encourage them. It just makes them feel good. And that's really not what comfort is. God is not just this God that makes you feel good. He's the one that comes along in that situation, whatever it is, and he's there to lift you up. He's there to encourage you. And we've had people in our lives, everybody has somebody in their life that encourages them some way or another. But they can't encourage the way God can. And he comes along to strengthen them, and when we're weak, he is strong. We know that. So it's saying that he's the God of all comfort, who comes alongside you, lifts you up, encourages you, and strengthens you in all our tribulations. Well, that all of our tribulations means that they're coming. We're going to have them. You can go to James in chapter 1. It tells us to count it all a joy when trials come. Not if they come, when they come. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. It talks about putting on the armor of God when the day of evil comes. Not if it comes, when it comes. And so, God is the God of all comfort that's going to comfort us in those troubles that are coming. That's really what this verse is saying, is that he is the God that comforts us in the troubles that have come and are going to come in your life. And so, Some translations will say tribulations, some will say afflictions, some will say trials. There's different translations. We'll use a different word, but the Greek word is the affliction in your life, the problems that you have. And I had always taken that as just normal everyday life afflictions. And that's true. God does come alongside us in our normal everyday afflictions. But if you put this in the context of what Paul is talking about here, before, after, during, I broke it all down this week because this was not the way I wanted to look at it. But he says that he comes along and he comforts you in all of your afflictions. And the afflictions is when people pay you back for what you're doing. Okay? And so he comforts us in all our afflictions that we may be able to comfort, come alongside, lift up, strengthen, encourage those who are in those same type of troubles, afflictions. Same word, just a different ending on it in Greek. But it's still meaning the same thing. It's coming along with your afflictions. So the things where they're getting paid for what they did. And this will all hopefully will come together here in just a minute when we get through this whole verse. That says that when we will be able to comfort those who are going through those same type of afflictions with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. So it's that same idea of when I go through a situation, when I go through a trouble, God comforts me so that when I see someone else going through that trouble, I can help them. And my thought this week is if you take a young lady that had a miscarriage and she went through it leaning on God and God gave her the comfort, and then she meets somebody later on that goes through that same trouble, she can come alongside them and explain. That was the picture kind of that we understand. And yes, that's all 100% true. But we can't take the meaning out of this where he says the afflictions comfort you in all your afflictions. When you are standing up for God and Satan afflicts you, when Satan attacks you, when you are going through trials and tribulations because of your stance for Jesus, and he comes alongside you to give you strength and encourage you, then you can come alongside and encourage somebody else that's in the ministry, that's trying to reach out, that's trying to do something for people, that are trying to live their life for Jesus Christ, and they're being persecuted. You know that same encouragement that you got from God, you can relate that to them. Paul is telling the people of Corinth that are trying to stand up for God, I've went through all of these afflictions and God was there with me. And the same way he was there with me, he will be there with you. Because if we go on to 5, it says, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us. The sufferings that Christ suffered, and we suffer for him when we stand for him. And so the sufferings of Christ abound in us. And this is what Paul is saying. So our consolation also abounds through Christ. The understanding that God is the one that comes alongside Paul. And this is what he's telling him. God is rewarding me with consolations because of the afflictions I'm taking in the ministry. Because of the afflictions I'm taking in sharing the gospel. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, so those sufferings in Christ abound in us, so our consolation, our reward, the blessings that we receive abound through Christ. Now, if we were afflicted, it's for your consolation. Paul is saying, we took this affliction, we took this pain, the beatings, the stonings, all the persecution that Paul faced, he did it so that he would be able to preach to this group, or not just this group, but actually this group as well, so that they would be able to receive consolation and even salvation through Jesus Christ. And so he's telling them, if we were afflicted, or if we are afflicted, if we're facing persecution, it's because we want you to receive the same consolation that we had, the same salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings. And so it's effective in enduring the same sufferings. And if what that means is if you're going to endure the sufferings of standing up for Jesus Christ in your life, then the consolation, the reward, is going to be there. And those sufferings make it worth it. He says, if we're comforted, if we're strengthened, it is for your consolation. God comes along and He comforts Saul. He encourages him. He strengthens him. He emboldens him to preach the gospel. And He does that so for the purpose of these people in Corinth. And He says, so our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as partakers in those sufferings, as partakers in persecution, that's what He's talking about here. He said, so when you're being persecuted, you're a partaker in those same sufferings, so also you will partake in the consolation. I had always taken that passage and said, it's just so that I can help people the way God helped me, and that's true. But we can't take out of there the idea that God is saying you need to be ministering to people. You need to be stepping up and living your life in such a way that you're going to face persecution. Because that's what He's talking about with these sufferings of Christ. And that He says that He's afflicted in. It's going to happen to you. These sufferings of Christ, this affliction is going to come to you. But I'm going to take it because God will encourage me. God will comfort me. God will strengthen me. God will give me boldness so that I can come alongside someone else that's going through that same type of persecution and give them what God has given me. And so as we look at this, yes, we are to comfort those people that are going through things that we've went through, the same way that most of us have always seen this passage. But we also have to understand that we are to live a life and expect persecution. Trials, those trials that we're talking about, not just trials of life, but anytime you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you need to understand, I need to understand that we are going to deal with afflictions from Satan. If we're not dealing with some type of affliction from Satan, then we are no threat to him. And there's only one way we cannot be a threat to Satan, is that we're not doing anything for God. And so if I'm doing anything for God, if you're doing anything for God, you are going to suffer the afflictions that this passage is talking about. But God says He will come alongside you. He is the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. He is going to come along you in all of your tribulations, in all of your afflictions. He's going to be there. Man, if we in our life, if we understood that somebody's going to do something for you, even 99% of the time, man, we'd take that. We'd jump at that. But He doesn't say 99% of the time. He says He's going to comfort you in every single affliction you face when you are afflicted because of Him. Doesn't say He's going to take you out of it. Man, I looked at 7 different commentaries this week. None of them said He's going to take you out of it. You're going to face it, but in every one of them, He's going to be there to comfort. Not like that little blanket. He's going to come to encourage you. He's going to, and if anybody can encourage, it's Him. He's going to strengthen. If there's any strength that we would ever need, it's Him. He's going to make us bold. It says He will envelop us to where we can be bold and stand when we face that persecution. So we are called to stand and expect that affliction. It's coming. But next, know that that comfort is always near. That comfort is always near. Like I said, in all of our afflictions, He's there. But not just is He there, He's there. And what I mean by that is He is walking beside you before that affliction even starts. He is there with you in the middle of that affliction. He is there at the end of that affliction to pick you up to strengthen you, to encourage you, to embolden you, to be everything that you need. He is that near that He's always with us. Next, we understand that that affliction, that persecution that you and I should be dealing with, there's a purpose. But we don't want it. None of us, nobody in here, if I was to ask the question, how many of you want to face persecution tomorrow? Probably no hands would go up. Right? I mean, honestly, that's. But persecution, affliction has a purpose. That's what it tells us. That's what we're going to look at. It says, because if I face that, like Paul said here, we're going through it for your benefit. The fact that we face those afflictions so that God can comfort us, understand that your afflictions are for the benefit of someone else. Because that shows that other person, that next person in that chain, that I can make it through this because of the strength of God. But if you and I don't want to do anything to face persecution, to deal with the afflictions that come our way, then what happens when I need to share that with the next person? I'm not able. And so we are in the idea, the understanding that persecution is bad. Those afflictions are not good. And think about the New Testament. When the persecution broke out on the New Testament church, what happened? Everybody went everywhere preaching the gospel. The gospel of Jesus went throughout. If there had been no persecution, what would have happened? They'd have stayed in that little village. They'd have praised Jesus in that little village. But nobody in Ethiopia would have heard the gospel. Nobody in Africa, nobody anywhere in those villages where they all went to. And you and I don't want to face persecution. But if we understand those afflictions are for a purpose, we don't want to face affliction so I don't say or do something. I don't want to stand up against people. You know, it's one of those deals. It's Gay Pride Month, and I don't want to say anything because it's just going to cause all this issue. You know, I'm saying, God, it's really not worth it that I face this affliction. Who cares about that next person that I'm supposed to share with? That's really what we're saying. When we say we don't want to stand up and face the afflictions that are coming our way because of our ministry for Jesus Christ and the sufferings that are of Christ, if we don't want to face those, if we want to dodge those, then we're saying, God, find another way. And that's not the way the Bible reads. We are supposed to deal with those afflictions, understanding that there is a purpose. Man, Easter sunrise service, I love it. Man, that sun pops up over the lake, especially when it's a year like this year. But you know, 30 minutes before I get up, I don't want it. I mean, that's where I'm at. I'll be honest with you, because I very seldom sleep most of the night, and then I go to sleep about 5 o'clock. So I'm just getting to sleep. And I don't want to deal with that. Man, just if it was just next week. If it was just the next week after that. And that sounds silly, but that's the way we are when it comes to our ministry. It's like, if we would just understand, we're going to have to go through some things that we don't really want to deal with right now, so that God can use, so that we can see something far more beautiful than that sunrise when someone comes to know Jesus Christ. When we can come alongside somebody and be the hands and the mouth of God and share with them His love and understanding that, hey, keep going. Don't stop. It's just the second watch of the night. It's just the third watch of the night. Hey, the morning's coming. The rise of the sun is coming. We talk ourselves out of dealing with persecution, and God uses persecution so that we can share with others who are going to go through the things. So it tells us in this that The afflictions are coming. It tells us that the comfort is always near. And it tells us that the purpose is there to pass on to others. And then the last thing here. Verse 7 says, "And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the consolation." The fact that consolation is coming. Paul said, I can preach and I'll face the persecution. I'll face the stonings. I'll face the things I have to face, because I know one day that reward is coming. That's what gets me through these things. I'm supposed to comfort dealing with the persecution, so God comforts me so that I can pass that on, because of the promise that Jesus promised, that consolation, that salvation that's coming one day. If I look at the affliction, like I said, none of us want that. We don't want to focus on the affliction, on the persecution that's going to be there, or should be there. Well, we blame it on the fact, you may not like this, but I think we blame it on the fact that, you know, we're not like a lot of countries. We don't have persecution here. Why is that? Because we're not standing up for Jesus Christ. Because if you stand up for Jesus Christ, I guarantee you Satan's going to do something about it. I don't care if it's in Missouri. I don't care if it's in China. Wherever you stand for Jesus Christ, Satan is going to throw a fit. We don't face persecution in this country because we don't stand for Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And yeah, there's more people. We're in small Midwest Missouri. You know, the Bible Belt, if you want to call it. Guys, if you stand up, I guarantee you Satan's not saying, "Well, I can't go there. That's the Bible Belt." It's not that way. We are standing back and dodging affliction because we don't want to deal with it. But understand that if I'm looking and I'm afraid of that affliction, then I'm saying that God's comfort's not enough to overcome that. That I'm saying God is not near in, with His strength and His arms to wrap around me. And I'm saying, well, I'm going to dodge it because I don't think there's a purpose for it. And then I'm also saying, I don't want to go through it because it's not worth the reward that's coming later. Man, is that ridiculous to say that? It is, but that's how we live. We look at it when He tells us we're supposed to live, we're supposed to be dealing with something that should be causing us, that no, there's no other way but that God is going to have to come along and comfort you. The God of all comfort. And the only thing that He... not, let me take that back. Not the only thing. But the thing that He's talking about in this passage is when you take a stand for Him, He's going to be there to comfort you. And if you're not going to take a stand for Him, you're saying you don't need those other things. I don't think He's there to do it. I don't think there's a purpose. The reward's not worth it. So I want to come and understand. I still believe this passage is talking about how we are supposed to comfort other people in other ways. But I think the Bible has things that we're supposed to understand that, yes, if that person is going through, if I'm going through something and God comforts me, then yes, I should be His hands and His feet and His mouth to comfort other people in normal everyday life. But in the afflictions that come from Satan that this passage is talking about, those are things that are only going to come when you stand up for Jesus Christ, when I stand up for Jesus Christ. And so many of us can say, unfortunately, we don't face affliction. Now, we face trials and we face tribulations, but a lot of times we don't face affliction, because affliction is when Satan is attacking you because of your stance, because of your ministry for Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that here, that we're dealing with this, we're dealing with these sufferings, we're being persecuted for your sake, because God has helped us through it, He's going to help you through it. Where do you want to be on this? Where do I want to be? Where do we want to be as a church? To take a stand and be about the ministry of Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel of Jesus to our town, to our world? Do we want to face affliction? Yes or no? I know a lot of times we would say no, but I would hope that we would say yes. Because if we're not willing to say yes, then we're saying it's not worth it. If we're saying it's not worth it, then we're saying the reward of Him coming through those clouds one day is not worth it. And it is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we know that You watch over us. We know that You are so near. We know that nothing we face is going to surprise You. Nothing we face is going to shock You. Nothing we face is too big for You. God, may we keep our eyes on You. Lord, may we be doing what You've called us to do. Living the life, sharing the gospel that You called me to do, that You called us to do, God. Lord, may we see that if there's something out there that You set before us, God, give us the desire to jump in and follow You, to hang on with everything we have, God. Watch over us. Give us that strength. Give us that courage that comes only from You. God, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word and pray that You would be glorified. Lord, teach us, show us, lead us, guide us, mold us, and make us into what You want. Lord, get us out of the way, that You would be honored. In Your name we pray. Amen.